farthing, and one of them shall fall to the ground without your father, but the very hair of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Amen. Well, take your Bible this morning, Matthew chapter 10. Glory to God. Can you imagine you got your own Bible? People all over the world don't have Bibles. We got a Bible. I want to talk to you about how to work in this world. How to work. God told us, this is how we work in this world. And he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Oh, my goodness. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless. You hear that? Harmless as a dove. I think Labor Day is just an excuse to have barbecue. And we celebrate the unofficial end of summer. Years ago, Labor Day was actually was a time set up to honor the contribution of the workers of America. In fact, the first Labor Day was a strike. It was a protest. The origin of the holiday was not celebratory. It was in your face. We want less hours, and we need your help. And 10,000 workers marched on Union Square Park in New York City to support the idea to have a holiday for the union, for the workers. In 1894, 12 years after the protests, President Grover Cleveland signed a bill designating the first Monday of September to remember these men and women who worked so hard. And may I thank you for working hard. You ought to thank God today that you have a job. You ought to thank God that you are employed. There's a lot of people that are out of employment today. A lot of people telling you why they're unemployed. And I talked to a young man yesterday, came mowed my lawn, and we sat down and talked a while. And he said, preacher, he says, I was working out the oil fields out in North Dakota. And he said, I didn't get to see my babies growing up. He said, I quit my job and came back home. I said, I applaud you, young man. And I said, where are you working? He told me, he says, you know, it's not hard to get a job. You just go out there and do what you're supposed to do, amen. I was kind of interested how he was telling me about that. The celebration of 155 million people working today in America. And workers enjoying a time off for Labor Day is part of 155.2 billion people who make up the United States workforce. I was kind of interesting. I was reading some of this in the census of 2010 that there are 3,073,673 teachers. They're one of the largest forces of workers today. And there is 1,445,991 janitors, which is not second class of people, most workers. And the cooks, I like this, 1,051,471 cooks in America. So Labor Day marks more than the end of the summer. Labor Day may have started to recognize workers, but it's turned out to be an official celebration for mankind to enjoy what God has given to them. Holiday not only signals some of the significance in life, but also significance in fashion. After Labor Day, you're not supposed to wear anything white. You know, put away your white shoes and your white dresses. Anyway, that's what that crazy thing told me on the internet yesterday. But anyway, how do I go to work for God? Well, first of all, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. When Jesus sent forth his labors, he knows what he's doing. God knows what he's talking about. May I suggest that we are to do what he tells us to do, amen? So the Christian, he sends us forth and he said, I want you to know
that I'm sending you like sheep.
Sheep in the midst of wolves. To a normal person, that's a little crazy, and that's a little scary. I'm a sheep. And I'm going to be sent out with wolves? He said, I send you. He said, and in going, you are to be in or unoffensive. You're to be harmless. He said, I'm sending you into the cold, unfriendly, and cruel world. And I want you to imitate. How? I want you to imitate lowly sheep. I was thinking about that when I was writing this sermon. I thought, I grew up on a farm, and one of the things we had in our farm was some sheep. We had about 200 ewes. And a sheep, they're innocent. And they can't protect themselves. Sheep are very vulnerable. They have no built-in protection. The only offense a sheep has is to run. And the problem is they can't run very fast. I can chase a sheep down today. They don't run very fast. They don't have a lung capacity to keep running. They can swim across a river, but not very fast. And they don't like water. And the problem is they're easily to be caught. And they give up easy. And they have no teeth. And they have no claws to climb a tree. I was thinking about that. Can you see a lamb, a sheep climb up a tree and has claws? And have big teeth like a wolf? Climb a tree? Bah! Bah! That was funny to me. Sorry. They're white. They're not camouflaged. They can't hide. You can smell them a mile away. Hey, man. God says we're supposed to be like that. I've met some like that and smell a mile away. But anyway. Hello? Help me out here. They're not quiet. They're always bleeding. Bah, 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 bah. They're not quiet. Can you imagine taking a sheep with you hunting? Sit down, be quiet. Bah, bah. Quiet, bah. Like taking your teenage kid with you the first time hunting. So the Bible says we're to be like sheep in the midst of wolves. Doesn't sound like we got very much protection, does it? Secondly, he says, be wise as a serpent. Serpents have been an emblem of wisdom and cunningness. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The Egyptian used serpents in their hieroglyphics and symbols for wisdom. Christ directed his followers here to imitate a serpent. The serpent is a cautious and avoiding danger constantly. Knows where to go, knows where to hide. No animal equals them. They rapidly stealth. They have skills to evade and escape danger. So Christ said to the disciples, you need to be cautious and wisdom in the midst of the world that will seek your life. Whether you like it or not, they're after you. Satan is after you. You start telling people about Jesus Christ, you're going to have some problems. He says, look at your Bible, verse 16, it says, as doves. He directs them to be harmless. Yes, harmless. And not to provoke danger, not to do injury, and thus make their fellow man justly enraged against them because they won't fight back. Now, let's back up and say, now, who told us this? Jesus said, I'm going to send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. I want you to be wise as a serpent. Now, I want you to be as harmless as a dove. Most men will destroy a serpent at the drop of a hat. You say snake, click, click. I was talking one time with Chad. We're over by the Gilt Edge, up that mountain over there. And we're being really quiet. We knew there's some deer right around the corner, and we're coming around this ledge, and all of a sudden I heard it. I turned around. He's got his pistol pulled. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "And about 6 foot from my feet was a rattlesnake." Do you like snakes? Absolutely, positively, without question, no. Only snake I like to see is a dead snake, but the problem is they always say if you see one, you'll see another. So real men will destroy a servant at the drop of a hat. But it ever so harmless, they all right. Shoot the stinking thing, amen. And then cut its head off. And stomp on it. Run over it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I just hate snakes. My problem is I can't hear them. My son Casey and his son were out hunting the other day, bow hunting antelope, and Casey was laying there, crawling up, and all of a sudden he says, I started looking around, and he said, "I didn't see nothing." He says, "I jumped straight up." His son Adam was behind him. He said, "Good night, Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "There's a snake someplace." He said, "Man, I thought you were Superman. You wouldn't come out of that ground so fast." He said, "There he is." No, Adam drew back and whacked the snake. Amen. I seen a picture of it. Yes! One more of them dastardly things gone from planet Earth. Amen. I'm going to talk to Jesus about that when I get to heaven. Amen. Most real men would destroy a servant at the drop of a hat, be it ever so harmless. Yeah, right. I saw my grandson. He's got a picture of having a snake, and one of them said he was going to put it in his pocket and bring it home. Shame on you. Yet, few are so hard-hearted to kill a little dove. I don't care who you are. They won't kill a dove. And Jesus said, "I want you to know I'm going to send you the sheep who are very defenseless, who do not go on the offense." He said, "I want you to understand, I want you to go into this world understanding that you are going to act like a sheep." And he said, "I want you, when you go into the sheep, I want you to be like a serpent. I want you to be wise. Be careful. Because they're out there to get you. And then I'm going to send you as a dove." And people hate, despise people who they will not fight back. So when Jesus sends us forth to labor, he said, "I want you to be on guard." I had a roommate in college, and he happened to be a preacher's kid, and he left the second semester of college. I didn't know where he went. He just vanished. He didn't tell me where he's going. He just gone. I mean, I thought we were pretty good friends. And a year later, he came back to college, and I said to him, I said, "Man, where'd you go?" He said, "Well," he said, I got so ticked off at Vietnam." He said, "I went and joined the army." He said, "I was going to do something for patriotism." And he said, "I became a Green Beret." And he got a lot of awards. He's a tremendous young man. And then he was sitting on my bed and we were talking, and like we normally did. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, I want to ask you this question." Now, this is a dumb greenhorn 20-year-old college boy. Got this now? I understand. I'm going to let you know that. And I said to him, I says, "Do you really use arm-to-arm combat?" And this is what he said. "Well, if you're stupid enough to get that close to an enemy, they ought to kill you." That's what he told me. He wanted to tell me a lot of things that went on. And he said how it is important that you're always on guard. You're always checking six. The fighter pilot says that. Always looking behind. Last night I was doing some things late at night. My wife has picked up this thing like to scare me. Years ago, I used to hide in her bedroom and hide in her closet. When she'd come by, I'd go, ha! Maybe that's why she had a heart problem. I don't know. Ever since we got married, I was jumping out of someplace and yelling, and she jumps, and we laughed. Well, now, with my hearing, she can do it real easy. Last night, she stepped up to me, and I didn't know she was close to me, and she went, boop! And lights are all off the house, just a little place where I'm working, you know. Fans are going, boom! God said, I want you to be on guard. I'm going to put you in a place that you need to be on guard at all times. You can't let it slip. You can't let someone get close enough to you to hurt you. Take advantage of you. Be careful. Yeah, that's what he said. I want you to be on guard. Jesus goes on to tell them that they are laboring for him to what? Beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the council and will scourge you in their synagogues. Beware of men. That is, on your guard against men who are like wolves that want to destroy you. You say, this is not a very good sermon. I mean, not very good sermon, pretty good information. God said, I want you to understand that you're a sheep. You have no defense to these wolves. He said, I want you to be smart. I want you to be like a serpent. And he said, I want you to be harmless like doves. Why? Well, he says, beware of the council. Commonly signified that this great council of the nation of Israel is called the Sanhedrin. And they seem to refer to the judicial tribunal, which is every village. And if you did anything wrong against the synagogue or did anything wrong that was against, quote-unquote, their laws, not God's laws, but their laws, they will take you and they will beat you and they will try you and many times put you to death. A while back, I sat down, I took my book of Acts, and I just really tore it apart. I just dissected it. And every time I saw people getting saved in the book of Acts, it always followed with persecution. It always followed with trouble in the church. You listen to me now. When people are getting saved, there always followed persecution and trouble in the local church. Read it. It's the most amazing. You just write it down. I have one Bible up in my office that I took that day, and I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote all the time the trouble came. There it was. It's an incredible thing. So who are we? We're sheep. We're in the midst of wolves. How are we supposed to act? We're supposed to be smart. We're supposed to be wise. We're supposed to be stealth. We're supposed to be very careful how we move. Because if someone gets us, we can't witness anymore. That's what he was saying. And he said, I want you to be harmless. I want you to watch your mouth. I want you to watch you not hurt anybody's feelings on this thing. I want you to be very careful that you look like Jesus Christ. The thought is this. How would Jesus answer that? How would Jesus speak to that? Aren't we not His? Aren't we not His children? Aren't we supposed to be like Him? How do we answer? They will scourge you in their synagogues. Man, that was a scourging, a whipping. Often mentioned in the New Testament as part of punishment. The law of Moses directed that number of stripes could not exceed 40. And so these ingenious Jews thought, hey, this is a good deal. We'll take a whip and put 3 stripes on it. And we'll beat a person 13 times. 39. And since they can only do that, let's put some extra stuff on it. Let's put some pots, broken pottery, and broken glass. or pieces of brass. Let's just hook it on the end of this thing. Because we can only hit them 39 times, right? That's what Moses said, but we'll just add to it. Oh, how devilish we are. We want to hurt so many people. The mind is an incredible thing that can certainly think up some pretty bad stuff. And that's why Jeremiah said that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? If I'm to be a sheep, then I must act like a sheep because Jesus told me to. And I should be wise, God said to be wise. And God said, you be harmless. I see so many Christians today. I just talked to a man today and he said, it just seems like that the Christians are the only one that tramples their wounded. I was a firefighter in Elkton, South Dakota, and there's a young lady that came and said, I want to be a firefighter. And oh boy, you talk about the talk. This is back in the 70s. Man, I tell you what, these firefighters, you talk about redneck. Those guys were blackneck. I mean, they were just... And one of them said, what do you think, preacher? I said, okay, this is what I think. If she can do what I can do, I'm for it. I said, what? I said, I'm for it. I said, I'm in that burning building, and I got my Scout Air Pack on, and I fall down, I'm hurt. She better be able to pull me out of there. If she can't pull me out of there, then she should be able to run a truck or something else, but she better be there to help me. I guarantee I can pull her out of there. We got a lady on the fire department, first one in South Dakota. She's a great girl. Dad was a chiropractor. After everything's done, we go down and see her dad. Amen. We'll sit here today. But we need to be very careful that we can take care of each other. We want to be very careful that we can that we'll meet each other's needs. And be very careful that we take care of people that are our Christians, though they fall and they fail, so do you. And be able to say, you know what? I was there one time, or in other words, I've never been there and I don't want to be there, but I'm going to be helping you, though you're there, and I'm going to be helping you. When Jesus sends forth His labors, we are to go places that we never dreamed we'd go. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Why? For a testimony against them, the Gentiles. What was the testimony? That Jesus Christ died on the cross and Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And Jesus Christ is coming back. And if you'd like to receive that, He'll save you and He'll change your heart. That was the only reason He said, hey, I'm going to set you before kings and governors so that what? That you can testify of me. Why do you think we send missionaries all over the world? Why do some missionaries really get in a lot of trouble with that government? Why do they have their eyes scrutinized on those Christians? The stupid thing about it, the best thing ever happened to that government is the Christian. We won't boycott. We won't have the bondage. We're going to work hard. We're going to be careful. We're not to tell you how to run your government. We're to tell people that Jesus loves them. And Jesus offers a wonderful life everlasting. He said, that's why you're going to go. I'm going to send you all over the world. Verse 18, ye shall be brought. This predicts completely, abundantly fulfilled. Listen, Peter. It is said that he was brought before Nero. John, before Domitian, the Roman emperor. And others, before Parthian and Cincinnati and Indian kings. Paul, of course, went to Rome. Why was he going there? To preach the gospel. It is not about you. Listen to me. Listen, Christian, it's not about you. Your life is not about you. Your life is about Jesus Christ. What in the world is wrong with us? We get mad at this and fuss about that and critical about this and that. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know nothing else. This is right last yesterday. I know nothing else but Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. He said, that's all I know. We Christians get so fired up about little things that don't mean a hill of beans. And we start acting like wolves. And Brother Rick, I thought the Bible said I'm supposed to act like a sheep. And Brother Pat, I thought I was supposed to act like a serpent. I was supposed to be wise. Hey, Tucker, the Bible said I'm supposed to be like a dove. What's wrong with us? Have we lost the way we're supposed to do our work for God? Yes. Right answer. We have lost what we're supposed to be doing. I spent all week this week reading Ephesians. We're to love one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We're to forgive as God has forgiven us of Christ's sake. It don't mean any difference how I feel. It doesn't make any difference what you feel. What does it make for Jesus? We're not here for ourselves. Jesus said, I'm going to send you like sheep. I guess He made us. I guess He can do what He tells us to do. Now, you can yell and scream and bleat all you want, but I'm going to tell you something, Baba Black Sheep. You're going to get in line, or He'll put you in line, or He'll take you home. My daddy used to have some sheep, and every once in a while, my daddy said, okay, we're loading her up. I said, why is that, Dad? He said, they're bad sheep. I said, what if? He said, they're the ones that can find the hole in the fence, and when one goes on, the whole thing goes. And he said, that's the one right there. He took her to Breckenridge, to the market. By the way, God's got a truck waiting just for you if you don't get in line, amen. She said, I don't like that kind of preaching. God don't like your kind of living. Get it up. Get it over it. Get on with life. We're here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the world is watching you. The wolves are watching us sheep slaughter each other instead of do what we're supposed to do, acting like sheep. And following the shepherd. I need a drink. Yeah, 5 minutes, brother. Who am I to order my Heavenly Father around? Who am I to tell God what I'm supposed to do? Now, I thought that I'm His servant, and I thought I'm His son. Jesus said, I did what my Father wanted me to do. I do the will of my Father. I suspect it would be a pretty good idea that we step in and get back in line and say, I'm going to do my will of my Father. God said, I want you to love with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. Do you really do that? But God, Lord, you don't understand who my neighbor is. They got a dog. It barks all the time. It also leaves some deposits on my lawn. God says, first of all, it ain't your lawn. If you're mine, it's my lawn. And I told you, love your neighbor. And you're not doing a very good job of it. You're not acting like a sheep. that's not hostile, you're acting like the wolf.
I have my rights. You can't make me. I'll tell you what. Yeah, right.
I've never seen a sheep like that. Have any of you?
How many ever raised sheep? Nobody's red sheep? So I guess I'm the authority.
Oh, you need to spend a year with sheep. And watch them in the lambing season. And those little lambies, they get about a couple weeks old and they start jumping around and kicking their heels, jumping over stuff. They're the coolest thing you ever seen in your life. And then you get what they call a bum lamb. A bum lamb is the mother will not take care of that lamb or the mother dies. And you take a Coca-Cola bottle and you put a little rubber nipple on the end of it and you put a little milk in there. And my daddy always put a little Carol syrup in it. He'd shake it up and bring it out there and I just go to work on you. And then they follow you. You've never had a pet like a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. Fleece was white as snow. Followed her to school one day, school one day, school one day. Followed her to school one day. And the teacher, yeah. You've never had a little lambie before in your life. The sweetest little friend you'll ever have. You open the door and they're there, right there. They'll be looking in your window. We had a house that had a half porch and a little place you'd sit on in the evening. And the little we had a couple lambs. And my dad figured out, he just, why mow the lawn? Just put a fence around it. Boy, I had a beautiful green lawn. They also fertilize it for you, too. And in the morning, you just, bah, bah. And you look out the picture window, hear that stinking lamb looking at you. Boy, you open the door, and you jump off there and come around. Yeah, that bottle of milk, man, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Christians, I just want to remind you, in this world of trouble and heartache and sorrow, we've got to go to work like Jesus told us to go. You are going to be like sheep in the midst of wolves. I want you to be careful because I want you to have wisdom like a serpent. And I want you to be harmless like a dove. And when they put you before council, that's your turn. Because they would not listen to you until... Hey, think of the time that that Stephen was stoned before all the Sanhedrin. Remember they laid their clothes at Saul's feet or Paul the Apostle's feet? Why do you think that happened? Paul's looking at this guy and this guy's saying, Father, forgive them. No, not this to their charge. Paul's saying, wait a minute. We're beating these guys up. We're killing these people and they're still taking it. What in the world's going on? Jesus said, hey, I want you to know that you're going to be sheep. What happened to the Apostle Paul? He turned the world upside down because of one man gave his life and he died as a sheep and he was wise and he preached the gospel to him and he was like a dove. When they threw stones, he didn't pick them up and throw them back. He just took it. And there's too many Christians that are trying to pick up the rocks and throw them back at the world and at other Christians. Not a very good idea, I don't think. Because Jesus said, this is how I want you to go to work. Easy? God didn't promise us skies of blue, nor beds of flowers. He said a Christian will live in persecution. Paul the Apostle said, these are all the things that happened to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, these are all the things that... And then he says, all these things that have come upon me. Guess what he says at last? And the care of the churches. He said the worst thing of all the problems, all the heartache, three times they whipped me, they've stoned me, they've cast me in the deep, I've been a boat wreck, you name it, it's happened to me, stoned. But he said, hey, you know what? The care of the churches. So therefore, I want to put that in our mind, said, you know what? Yeah, there's going to be some problems. Live the way Jesus wants. Work, labor the way the Lord Jesus wants you to labor. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Help us today, Lord Jesus, realize the scriptures that tell the truth. And Lord God, you made us, and so therefore you know what you want from us. And we're going to trust you in that. We're not going to try to outthink you or outfox you. We're going to do what you tell us to do. Lord, you said it, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. Lord, there may be here today people who are not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, that today they need to be saved. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. My friend, God loves you. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means go to hell, but have everlasting life. Has there been a time in your life that you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come into your heart? You say, preacher, I have not done that yet. Well, my friend, you've come to the right place. Why don't you right now say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. Who would say today, preacher, I did that. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. You're here today and say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart today. I want to live more like him. I want him to have control completely of my life. I want him to know that I'm signing up today. Your name, say, preacher, would you pray for me? God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Oh, my goodness. He says, you better be careful. I want you to be smart. I want you to be wise. I want you to be harmless. I want you to be on guard. But he said, I'm going to give you opportunities. And I'm going to send you forth. I'm going to give you challenges. I'm going to give you opportunities you've never thought you'd ever have by just being that sheep. But being wise and harmless and on guard. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Can I ask everyone to stand? If you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come right now as the music starts? If you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. It really concerns me. Why don't you come? Here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism.